This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
This is a heavy-duty hour of guests that we've got coming up here for the next 60 minutes. No call. You had a chance. I'm just telling you. Leonard Hamilton, Bubba Cunningham, Darian Rentier, Trevor Lawrence. That's what you get coming up for the next 60 minutes. Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We look forward always to visiting with Leonard Hamilton. He'll be up next. Then Bubba Cunningham joins us, and we're going to dive a little bit more into name, image, and likeness. We've talked about Bubba this week in a podcast visit he had with Stuart Mandel and Bruce Feldman at the Audible about a month ago, and just kind of the nooks and crannies of this thing, Pac. I think we've got a bit of the road still to go a little bit on name, image, and likeness, and we're going to get into more and more of the kind of the tentacles of this thing. And again, I'm excited Bubba's going to be with us to kind of share his perspective on maybe where this needs to go. And then Trevor Lawrence and Darian Rentier, of course, are at the forefront of the project tomorrow night involving Clemson University and their student athletes in their March for Racial Equality. And we'll talk to those guys about that as well. So a busy hour of Packer and Durham. And you just told me during the break that Monday is show 150?
Yeah, buck 50 for Packer and Durham. That's on Monday. But, you know, going back to Bubba a second, you know, now that we gave you the Jeff Goodman stadium list of grades for ADs, we need to ask Bubba about that B grade, because I'm going to sense Bubba's coming in here with a little attitude thinking, hey, wait a minute now. I hired Mac Brown. Roy Williams has been my coach from day one. I mean, how's that a B, for crying out loud? Mac's done a pretty good job in a short period of time.
Well, and you know what? Not to mention all the physical plant changes that North Carolina's made. I know that might not have factored into the grading system of Brett and Jeff Goodman, but, I mean, let's be honest. Carolina has they've changed their entire physical plant landscape in athletics, you know? I mean, there's a lot to consider that's happened in Chapel Hill under his watch, for sure.
But, you know, we're going to get Leonard on here in a second. You just mentioned changes. One thing that we did not talk about today, this has nothing to do with anything. This is just off, again, it's on the fly. Georgia Tech, you're right there in your backyard. Georgia Tech's making a little change with their field, right? I mean, they've gone to the this new turf. But some folks love it. Some people, you know, listen, everybody's different with this thing. I love good old natural grass. But, you know, you mentioned North Carolina, Keenan Stadium made the change in terms of their field. And now here's Georgia Tech doing the same thing.
Well, there are some economics involved in this, going from natural grass. And there's two schools of thought in play here. Obviously, the economics is one of them, right? I mean, the cost of natural grass and maintaining and all that, we all understand where that is from a cost perspective. And obviously, if you go to field turf, which is what Georgia Tech's electing to do, it saves a degree of money. The other aspect of this is, and I know some of the guys that are involved in the development and the technology involved in this field turf, or in particular here, Georgia Tech is going with Shaw Industries and a sports turf product that they have developed, right, Mark? I would say this. The way that particular product has been revolutionized in the last decade or so, it's pretty unbelievable. Now, it's not natural grass. I'll be the first to tell you that, Pac. But still, the way that product line has been developed in the last decade, it's remarkable how good and consistent those surfaces can be as that technological improvement has occurred, I think.
It's not my money, but, as a fan, I like natural grass. That's just me. Call me nuts. I mean, I know Notre Dame's made the change. North Carolina's made the change. Georgia Tech's going that route. You know, it's good old grass, man. You can grow grass down there in Atlanta, can't you? I mean, you got a couple of nice golf courses you go down there and play all the time. You're always in pretty good shape. That place, Augusta National, that's the state of Georgia. They know how to grow some grass down there, don't they?
They do. I think that really where the differential sets up here is a cost perspective as well. I mean, sure. Let's be honest. Georgia Tech's had a long relationship with Shaw Industries on several fronts in terms of services and product development and things like that. And the Institute itself, by the way, has worked with Shaw Industries on several fronts. But I would also say, too, we probably need to get Roddy Jones on here to talk about this, because I think Roddy was a surprise. And I got to be honest with you, I was too. 25 years after they went from the all-pro turf, which, by the way, was like your living room carpet stretched out over concrete, And then they, 25 years later after grass, they go back to the field turf. But as you said, it's become a very popular move across college football, and Carolina did it at Keenan, and now Georgia Tech's going to do it at Bobby Dodd as well.
All right, let's bring on the star attraction. You just heard him singing. Guys, Mr. Cool, 71 going on 38, man. He is Mr. Smooth, head basketball coach at Florida State. Leonard Hamilton, good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hello, fellas. How you guys doing?
Man, we can't complain. Another day, another dollar. You know, we got us back on the air, so that's a pretty good deal. But we just saw the story that Andrea Adelson did with you. And I'm going to goof around with you at first. What kind of chemical sales guy could you have been?
Well, to be very honest with you, I can't imagine the level of confidence that I must have had to walk into the president's office at 26 and expect to be the head coach of a Division I program. I don't know what gave me that level of confidence, but I was just driven and wanting to be successful and wanting to make a better life for myself and my family, my brothers and sisters. And so I was kind of driven. And that's one of the few times in life that I think I've made an emotional decision that was not maybe necessarily in my best interest. And I'm glad that chapter of my book is behind me.
I love it.
Hey, Coach, our folks in Bristol telling us if you slide back a little bit, we can put you on camera here for the show. But I will ask you this too. The idea that, you had that 48 hours, if you will, between not getting the Austin Peay job and thinking about going back to Charlotte to work for Dow Chemical, and then all of a sudden Joe B. Hall, that kind of period in your life, when you look back on it now, did you think it was the difference in doing this and not doing this? I mean, has it turned into that little – that moment in time defined you as a basketball coach?
But I think that it tells you one thing. You got to have some emotional intelligence. You can't allow yourself, you know, the opportunity to get all emotional and make decisions that are not well thought out. But I was just kind of hurt, disappointed. I was in tears. I was sad. I was discouraged because it was a sign of the time. And I'm glad. I've always told people that I've always had a hedge of protection around me. I thought God has always kind of protected me from myself when I was making ill-advised decisions. And hopefully, I made the right one. And I'm thankful that Joe Hall called me and rescued me from a bad decision.
Coach, speaking of sign of the times, you have said some really powerful words, given the sign of our times right now. We've seen a bunch of student athletes in the ACC and around the country understand their power and the platform to get stuff done. You're at Florida State. We had Marvin Wilson on the show on Monday. We know what happened from Florida State football. They are a stronger, better team today because of student athletes speaking out. You have been very outspoken, I think spot on in sensing, hey, listen, you know, a plan of action is really the most important thing. It's one thing to give me words and all that stuff, but what are we going to physically do to make life and people and our environment and our society better? Could you touch on that a second? Because, again, I think you've been really, really spot on with your approach.
Well, what I see is the biggest challenge we have, you know, like in life, you can't figure out how you're going to get to a place that you first come to conclusion as where you are. We cannot accept the fact that we've had some challenges in our life, and it's not all perfect, but we can't figure out where we are. Some people say we have a racial issue. Some people say we don't. Now, if we first got to come to the conclusion without pointing fingers, without trying to figure out who's to blame and what's going on, let's see where we are. If you think back at it, we've had issues right there in North Carolina and Wilmington. You know, when the African Americans back in the 1800s, you had issues there that are almost unthinkable. You think about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to that community. There's another place in Florida. If we come to the conclusion that we're all in this together, and that if we can figure out where we are, then we can move from that point. And then we have to come up with an organized, thorough, authorized plan with the idea is that we're going to find a solution for this. And I've said in one article, we can put somebody on the moon. We can't figure out how to get along. You know, that doesn't add up. We got to get off our selfishness. We got to understand we got to love one another. We got to care for one another, because right now, if we don't come together with this, something negative can happen.
Coach, the one thing that keeps coming back to Mark and I've discussed it a couple times this week is if we get folks to respect each other, that'll go a long ways in this. I mean, you're a man of great faith, but you have always had great respect for people, whether it's the folks you work with, the coaches you compete against, the players you coach. I mean, just a simple modicum of respect here. If we can build that in, we got a chance here now, right?
Well, there's no doubt about that. But first, we have to understand is that we didn't come out of the womb with selfishness, racism, racist attitudes, bigotry, anger. We didn't come out of the womb angry. These things that we picked up along the way, you can't hold a person accountable for the way he's been taught, the life that he's lived, and what he's been exposed to. And so what we have to do is first understand that people are subject to change. If we all play a part of being a part of the solution and not trying to worry about and we can't be a part of the problem, you're going to be one or the other. So we all got to come together with an aggressive attitude is that let's come up with a way how we all can get along.
Leonard, I just want to point out, I mean, this is we could talk for hours on this topic, days on this topic. But I just mentioned to Wes, it was 3 months ago today. You're getting ready right now. Hey, we're going to go play Clemson here at the top of the hour at high noon ACC tournament game. And I just mentioned to Wes, it was one of the most surreal days of my life, and I've done a bunch of crazy stuff in terms of sports. But I still remember John Swofford walking through the tunnel, microphone in hand, ready to announce that the ACC tournament was over. I remember you and your team walking into the dressing room and then walking out for the trophy presentation. I mean, how do you put that in words? That had to be one of the craziest, wildest days of your life.
Well, there's no doubt that our team has been driven by the fact that the disappointment from the year before, when we thought we had a chance to compete for a national title, Phil Kofler's father passed, we had the injuries to Phil and David Nichols, and so we were determined that we were going to kind of regroup and kind of come back the next year. So all year long, we carried that burden over in our hearts. We were extremely motivated, want to go and go win a title. But then toward the end of the season, to be very honest with you, I started having some eerie feelings about where we were in terms of dealing with the virus, trying to understand how we're going to stay safe. And I felt very uncomfortable the night before the game thinking that we were going to play in an arena that had a sparse crowd. And so in my mind, I was saying is, if this virus is creating this type of scenario, is the virus just going to sit in those empty seats, or are they not going to come on the floor? How can we assure our players that we're going to be safe and healthy? So we got on the bus. I felt uncomfortable because I just didn't feel good about the position we were putting our fans, our coaches, the staff at the arena, as well as our players on the court. I was actually somewhat relieved when I was called into the locker room to discuss the fact that we're probably going to have to cancel the tournament. Now, I was faced with the responsibility of trying to explain this to our players. And to be very honest with you, I thought they were extremely matured. And our conversation was that, fellas, that life gives you certain circumstances that you got to learn how to deal with. And this is one of those moments where we had to handle it in a matured fashion, that the most important thing was the safety of our team and the safety of everybody concerned with the tournament, and that the tournament had been canceled, and that we would probably have an opportunity to play more basketball games, and coaches would have an opportunity to coach more games. But if something adverse would happen to someone playing in the game and caught the virus and something bad happened, that would be pale in comparison to the enjoyment that we would receive in terms of playing. So our players accepted it. It was difficult. And now we're even more motivated now to make sure that we can find a way to get back and be another good basketball team next year.
Well, I have no doubt you're going to be really good again next year. You've created more than just a basketball team. You've got a basketball program. Listen, we've always had tons of respect for you. I've loved your message during these last couple of weeks while the country's been on edge a little bit, needless to say. Continued success, my man, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Man, you guys got to have me on more often, man. You got to start coming together. I feel like you guys neglected the Seminole basketball team down there. Show us a little bit more love. All right?
Listen, if this is what you were bringing to the Dow Chemical Company, I would have fired you. You know what? You got to come stronger than that, my man. You got to come stronger than that. Be good. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. There's my man, Leonard Hamilton. All right, when we come back, the University of North Carolina takes center stage with the man in charge. That'd be Bubba Cunningham. We'll talk about name, image, and likeness and this B grade that Goodman gave him. We'll get into all that stuff. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Busy hour. Leonard Hamilton, always great to talk to. Still can't imagine him as a chemical salesman, but nevertheless, it turned out all right for old Leonard down there at Florida State. Life's good. You'll have a good team again next year. Bubba Cunningham scheduled to join us here momentarily, and then coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes, Darian Rencher and Trevor Lawrence talking about the Unity Walk and the protest march tomorrow in Clemson. Should be very, very interesting. Again, all led by student-athletes. It's not necessarily a school function. It is a student-athlete taking ownership and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do. So we'll get all that stuff coming up. But looking forward to touching base with Bubba Cunningham, Wes. He has been in the news lately with name, image, and likeness. And obviously there's a ton of stuff going on here. It's going to be really, really interesting to hear from Bubba directly.
Yeah, he and Kevin White, obviously, with two of the stronger statements to, I think, reexamine name, image, and likeness as much as anything else. Right, Pac? Just to make sure that the right pieces are going into this legislation, that we just don't go pell mell into it and kind of just throw something up there that might not be serviceable moving forward as well. So I think he provides some tremendous insight into it as well. And I think that's one of the things that, he and Kevin White both have pointed out here. I think also, in relationship to, Trevor and Darian joining us, Mark, and you know this, we touched on it yesterday briefly. Grace Rayner, The Athletic, reporting the Clemson Board of Trustees is meeting at this hour with legal advisors about potentially, I guess, the Calhoun name as it's affixed to the university down there with the honors courses and things of that nature as part of this movement continues in a unique way for sure at Clemson.
So. Again, dialogue taking place. We've harped on this from day one with all of this. I think uncomfortable conversations are going to be the norm, and the sooner you accept that and feel comfortable in those conversations, the better. How that turns out, I have no earthly idea. Time will tell. But we'll worry about that in a minute. But right now, we want to bring on Bubba Cunningham, Director of Athletics at the University of North Carolina. Bubba, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I can't complain. You know, with everything that's going on, name, image, and likeness has now come back center stage. And you had some direct conversations with Dennis Dodd in a really interesting article on CBSSports.com last week. And I thought your approach was, hey, listen, you know what? Don't give us and tell us what to do. We got to make sure this is a good fit for all parties involved.
Yeah, I feel like the committees have really provided an awful lot of information to us, and we continue to talk about guardrails, but I think that's the biggest concern that I have. I'm concerned about recruiting. You know, I'm certainly want to provide as much as we possibly can to our student athletes, but we have such a unique economic structure in college athletics, and we're really kind of bound or stuck between two federal laws. And we have the antitrust, so we do limit scholarships. We do limit things that we provide students. But on the other hand, we're obligated to provide opportunities for women and other opportunities that don't generate income. So we're stuck in between those laws. So if we don't provide some resources to student-athletes, we can get sued on antitrust. If we don't provide equitable opportunities, we can be sued on Title IX. So at some point, I do believe we're going to need some federal assistance in helping us navigate that space. And that becomes a big challenge for us. So people really have different opinions of where we should draw these lines. The tension is between the amount of money a coach makes versus what a student-athlete receives. We also have the tension between the experience of a very high-profile sports team in some of our lesser-profile teams, some of our women's programs, some of our men's programs. I just worry about changing the economics very dramatically without knowing the outcome. And what does that do to the recruiting process when you turn this thing open to a completely different environment that looks to me like a professional model of college, of sport?
Bubba, if I said we just need to slow down and not go headstrong into this name, image, and likeness or whatever ultimately it becomes, is that maybe the easiest way to kind of say what you guys are trying to do? Just slow down. Let's take a look at this. Let's look at not just what happens 5 months from now. Let's look what happens 5 years, 15 years, 25 years from now.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't want to slow it down. We're trying to be progressive. We're trying to modernize the NIL, which I get. In my view, one solution might be to get to a group license right now. Let's bring back the video game. Let's bring back jersey sales and figure out a way to tether the revenue associated with those two products, maybe even trading cards, and get that somehow tethered to education, maybe in a trust fund, so we will provide more resources to students immediately. But I really like Donna Shalala's idea of a commission to take a look at this, because it's important to everyone. It's important to the students. It's important to Congress. It's important to every state. We have to get this right. There are 500,000 students participating in college athletics. We're providing $3.5 billion worth of financial aid. Just to say we're in a hurry because a state has passed a law, and I recognize there's 30 other states that are coming in behind them, and we need consistency. But let's not make a mistake, because it impacts too many people. So I think here's one thing that we can do that won't completely change the recruiting model right now, because I do think students will end up with marketing agents coming out of high school, and that will really change the recruiting model immediately, and it will be really hard to fix it once you've done that. So I think short term it would be a group license, study it with a commission that's federally, not regulated, but federally supported, and come up with a solution that everyone thinks is appropriate for 2020.
Bubba, let me switch gears on you a second. What is your confidence level that we're going to have a 2020 college football season with 12 games in the regular season?
Well, I'm hopeful that we're going to have a season. We're doing everything we can. In fact, some of our student athletes are starting to come back to campus today. But our chancellor has done a remarkable job in listening to the health experts and trying to create a roadmap and a phased program for our student athletes and for our students to get back on campus. So I'm hopeful that it'll work. But, you know, we're all watching the numbers, but we're getting all of our guidance from the professionals. We have incredible epidemiologists and infectious disease specialists on this campus, and they're the ones providing guidance to our chancellor, and we are completely aligned with the return of the student body with our student athletes. So I'm hopeful we have it. I don't know how many people will be in the stadium, but we're trying to create the collegiate experience, which in my view includes intercollegiate athletics. That is part of coming to college and having that experience, both to participate and to spectate. So we're doing everything we can. The mask, we're all wearing masks. We're all doing the things that are appropriate to ensure that we have the best chance to get our students on campus in a healthy and safe environment.
Can you take us inside the teamwork that's going on between not only your colleagues in athletic administration at other institutions, not only in the ACC, but nationally? I mean, because everything I've been told is the teamwork in the ACC has been fantastic, either in the AD Zoom calls, but also some of these subcommittees that are working on a variety of the sports and all the scenarios. Everything we hear about teamwork has just been remarkable. And really, I think, going to be an ultimate key to the success we're able to have in 20 and 2021 as it relates to athletics on the collegiate landscape.
Well, I think you're right. I think at the ACC level, it has been the cooperation, the communication has been terrific. Our coaches have done a great job communicating with students. You know, it's the strangest time in that you have a national crisis and everyone is separated. Typically, when you have a crisis, you bring everyone together. So the only way we've been able to do it is through video conferencing, And we've been able to learn that technology in an extraordinarily quick fashion. And so now our communication is probably better than it's ever been. Now the challenge will be we need to continue that as we move forward, continue to cooperate, continue to be open, continue to communicate. We have a motto in our department, we're trying to over-communicate. We recognize that it is very unsettling. We recognize there's fear and anxiety about coming back, about getting the virus, about spreading the virus. So we're trying to eliminate some of those fears by over-communicating. And we need to continue to do that when people are back in contact. And we need to follow the very basics. And our coaches tell our teams that all the time when it comes to sport. But when it comes to this particular virus, wearing a mask, washing your hands, and social distancing are the three best things that we can do. We have to continue to emphasize that. We all feel like we're invincible at times, but in this case, you have to protect yourself and others in your community, and we just need to practice those three fundamental things, and I think we'll be okay.
Bubba, we appreciate the time, as always. Stay safe, all right?
I appreciate it. And, Pac, I just want to let you know how good you look in blue.
Just for you. You know, we were going to do T-Shirt Friday, and I said last night with the cavalcade of guests, I mean, Gina DeMari, Leonard Hamilton, Darian Rencher, and Trevor Lawrence coming up, not to mention yourself, I said, we can't show up in T-shirts on a Friday. So just for you, I went baby blue with you today, all right? Just for you.
a tip of the hat. I appreciate
you
that.
You got it. Always a pleasure.
All right, Bubba Cunningham, the athletics director at Carolina. That was awesome. When we come back, Trevor Lawrence and Darian Rencher at the forefront of what Clemson University and their student athletes are going to do to support the movement of racial equality, not only in the upstate, but in the ACC footprint. We'll talk to them right after this on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Packer and Durham.
Wes, we've talked about this a bunch earlier in the show, but should be quite a scene tomorrow in Clemson, South Carolina. Four football players in particular, Darian Rencher, Trevor Lawrence, are going to join us here momentarily, along with Mike Jones and Cornell Powell, have said, hey, you know what, let's do something. And this is a grassroots effort. This is not an official university function. These are student athletes that said, we want to be heard. We want to do something. They've worked with local businesses. They've worked with the police department, the president of the institution, Jim Clements. And you know what? Tomorrow night, it should be quite a scene, I think, in Clemson, South Carolina, as student athletes and students in the local community get involved and show the inequality and the whole police brutality situation that we've discussed so much here in the last couple weeks around the country. But the scene tomorrow in Clemson's all started because of student athletes.
Yeah, I think the one thing too, Pac, is this is the first time, and maybe you can recall one other. I was thinking here a moment ago during the commercial break. This might be the first time in the last couple of weeks that we have seen a unified effort by not only an institution, but also a segment of student athletes. Right now, there have been things like Florida State football, or we talked about Nolan Smith and Jack White being involved in some of the things that went on in Durham, things of that nature. But this is a group that has come together and determined in many ways to make this thing a success, right?
It sounds that way. So let's bring on both these gentlemen, Darian Rencher and Trevor Lawrence.
Sorry, no, I can't hear again.
All right, there's Darian Rencher. Darian, can you hear us? I just want to make sure you can hear us. maybe not. Trevor, can you hear us?
They look good.
All right, we can barely hear Trevor, but nevertheless.
A little bit hard to hear.
All right, I will speak very slowly. We'll try to work that out. Again, here we are. We're trying to put all this stuff together. So, again, bear with this. We'll get the guys on here in a second because those two guys, as I mentioned earlier today on the show, are best of friends. And Darian's a fifth-year senior. Yeah. He has seen highs and lows, obviously, on the field. But we've talked about this. I mentioned this earlier in the week with Dabo Swinney. And I say this now as an alum, not as a guy that hosts a show. The thing that impresses me the most about this program is not the wins and the losses in the national championships and the division championships and the ACC titles and the bowl bids. What's impressed me the most about the program, and this is where Dabo Swinney gets a ton of credit, is they graduate their kids. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing called Paul Journey, which is, hey, you know, whatever you do, we're going to make sure that, you know what, you become a great father. You do the right things in society. This is a group that's been recruited, a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys, even though Darian Richard doesn't fall into that category, that understands that, guess what? We all put our together, we work together to a common ground, and now we move forward after Clemson and become good members of society. And I think what's going to happen tomorrow night at Clemson is going to be a really, really special night. I really do. Can't wait to be down there.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back. Trevor and Darian will join us from the upstate when Packer and Durham continues Friday right here on the ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. All right, Wes, I think we got this thing figured out now. You ready? You good to go?
Let's go. Right, let's go, man.
All right, let's bring on the guys. Darian Rencher, Trevor Lawrence.
Good.
There we go. Looking like movie stars, both of you. Darian, I'm going to start with you. You know, tomorrow night could really be in a special, special night. Talk about how all this stuff came together with you guys as a team that said, listen, what can we do to have an impact on the community and get people involved?
I still can't hear.
Oh, Darian can't hear me. All right.
Oh,
Wes, you try the question.
I know. Hey, if y'all want to just
hey,
talk.
Hey, Darian, it's Wes.
I can hear you, sir.
This is Wes. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you,
Mark
Mr. Wes.
Asked the question. You guys, how did all this come together? I mean, obviously the football team is a close-knit group, but to get you guys and all student-athletes who are back on campus participating in this Unity Walk tomorrow night, how did this come together?
Yeah, I would just say, and Trevor can back me up at the end, but I would say it's really organic. Just everything that's happened in our world, I think a lot of people want to come together and just see how we can make change. A lot of people are confused. I feel like everybody's trying to figure it out. And as we've had a lot of conversations in the shadows with our team, our senior leadership team, and then also a town hall with a bunch of athletes that our athletic director put together, this is one of the things we thought just, hey, like we want to – we're not the first people to fight for this. We want to join the fight and use our platforms and bring our community together for something that's good. I think we're joining the fight along with a lot of other cities, teams, and players across America that are trying to take a stand against equality or inequality. And so that's how it came together. And it's been crazy, man, meeting with the police force, our president, our athletic director, Coach Sweeney, everybody just fully supporting what we're doing. And just ultimately, Paul Journey, our player development program here at Clemson, giving us the chance to use our voices and be empowered. So that's what I would say. It's been a crazy little ride the past week and a half. Obviously, as a young black man, it's been emotionally draining to just see a lot of things on my phone and experience things and hear stories. But I think for the first time in a long time, I feel like America is not looking away from things that may not be totally the prettiest about our country. But I feel like it's good. I feel like people are listening. And more than listening, people are believing us.
Well, that's well said. Trevor, I've always thought of you as, in the years we've known each other, I've always thought of you as a thoughtful guy who who kind of has the bigger perspective beyond just playing football and the profile nature of that sport. And Monday we talked about what you had tweeted out last week, and now to see this germinate. We also saw Marvin Wilson kind of take a stand within his program that certainly seemed to make their football team stronger as a result of it. Do you get the sense that your football team, which everybody already suspects is a very close-knit group, has even gotten stronger through this kind of project as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think situations like this where you really have to come together for the same cause and support one another makes any group closer, especially a team. And it's been really cool to see how many guys on our team have really rallied behind it and want to support it any way they can. You know, not everyone is going to speak. Obviously, you can't do that. But I feel like we have a lot of guys that really want to support and play their role and do whatever that is that they can do. So it's been cool to see people learn, see people have conversations that aren't always the easiest. And we've grown a lot through it for sure.
Since Trevor can hear me and Darian can't, I'll ask this to Trevor and you guys can pass this along. How ticked off were you guys as a team?
Be an interpreter.
There you go. How ticked off were you guys as a team with what you've heard from some of the talking heads in the media regarding Dabo Swinney?
You know, I think it's a different, multiple different emotions. I think just because we know Coach Swinney so well, we've been around him and we know his family. We know how he acts on a daily basis. We know that, you know, some of the ways he's been portrayed isn't accurate. But, you know, you have to look at both sides. And I think sometimes, you know, in situations like this, there's a lot of emotions. And the people that don't know him, you just see a statement or you just see something that he says and you might take it the wrong way. And, you know, so I understand where people are coming from. But me personally, knowing Coach Swinney, I know the man he is, and I've never, you know, doubted his character because I've seen, you know, the way he lives every day. So that's his testament to me is how he lives.
Darren? Mr. West, could you repeat the question? I'm having a hard time hearing my other fellow counterpart with us.
No problem. Tell the impression and the people that have made these comments about Coach Swinney, what was your reaction to it? Mark asked Trevor, were you guys upset about it? I mean, some of the things that have happened here in the last week against Coach and some of those accusations?
Yeah, I would just say kind of piggybacking off Trev. I do understand where people are coming from, I guess from an outside perspective. And just like in Coach Swinney's voice to us, I think the biggest part is that ultimately, like, he's trying to learn and educate himself on how to better handle situations like this in the future. Because I feel like we all, not just Coach Swinney, I think a lot of people in America, they're taking it's been a good time for people to self-reflect and look within and see, hey, where can I be more a part of the solution? Where can I educate myself more to help this cause? And I feel like that's what he's doing. And I would just say, as a player who Coach Swinney's been nothing but good to me and a lot of my friends on the team, I would just say I definitely wanted to defend him. But at the same time, I feel like more so than defending him on social media, I think our actions, like things that we're doing as a team and things, more steps we got going beyond Saturday that we're putting in place will show his true character. Because I think we'll be judged in a totality, not just by one action or one misunderstood word or message. But I think when people look over the totality of Coach Swinney's journey up to this point and the journey he'll have after today, I think people will really be able to see his true heart, his true character, and that he's a great man. And he really is standing beside, understanding, listening, and supporting his black players through this time.
You know, it's interesting, guys, because the leadership that's being provided in not only this movement, but certainly within your program is fascinating because, you know, as we work our way toward the fall of 2020 and now student athletes are coming back to campus for workouts and the progress that will take place all the way through the month of August, with the pandemic to start with and now some things like this that behind it, Trevor, is this going to be one of the most unique challenges for student athletes, in particular successful programs like yourself, as you guys get back to it in the fall? I mean, this is a unique time in our country.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to – you'll see kind of who the mature teams are, if you will, this year, I think, because there's been so many distractions, so much time off. So you'll really see who's been keeping up with everything they need to keep up with as far as workouts and getting ready, but also just emotionally and mentally, all the stuff that's been going on with the virus and now just all the injustices going on in our country. It's going to be, you know, it'll take some mental toughness, some focus to really get back into the grind of preparing for this season. So I think it'll take a mature team to do it the right way.
Wes, ask the guys since I'm
Darren, what constitutes? Oh, go ahead.
Since this is the interpreter here,
I'm going to need you to interpret for me.
That's it. This is for both guys. since I'm coming down there tomorrow for this Unity rally, I want to know: can I use Trevor's parking spot or Darian's parking spot?
Mark said since he's going to. That's good. Let me ask you guys this, because of the work that's gone into this for tomorrow, Darian and Trevor. What constitutes success? Is there a bar that you guys want to reach tomorrow with the Unity Walk and the program that you have planned?
I would just say it's not like a numbers thing. There's no really true metric. I think it's more of a spirit thing. I think if the our spirit behind it has been just the conversations we've had with our team. Ultimately, we've done this in the shadows for days and weeks leading up to it, and we want to bring it to our community. It first started with Coach Sweeney's meeting at his house with the seniors. I feel like it was authentic, it was real, it was timely, and it was just a place for people that, man, there has to be grace for people who have rightful anger, because it's, man, as black people in America, like, you have a reason to be angry, to be sad, to have some rage, but at the same time, we need to get healing. I think we can open up and talk about it. And at the same time, I think there's people that are realizing now that maybe they haven't been aware or even wanted to care because it didn't affect them as far as the injustices in our country. And I feel like that has to be a place for those people to come and listen and understand. And so that's like the win. I mean, as far as like, there's no metric goal. Like, we have no idea how many people are going to come out. It's welcome, open and welcome to everybody. We want people to come and respect our spirit behind it. We are passionate behind what we're doing. We're not radical about it. We are passionate behind pretty much humanity versus inequality and standing up for people that don't have a voice and can't speak up for themselves. And so we want to use our platforms to further just further the message of just racial injustice, fight for equality, and making things more equal than they were. And so I would say just the win would be if Saturday just wasn't a publicity stunt, because it's not. The win would be if we all can take more steps after that moment. Hopefully that moment was a step forward. And after that, there's many more steps that come out of that moment. So that's the goal, is like, it's not just a moment. We want to be a movement. Hopefully we can add fire to the flame.
Trevor?
Yeah, I would say for one, I think one success that's just a little easier to measure is just the main thing is we want to be peaceful. And I think that that shows a lot more than violence, is if you can be peaceful and you can have conversations and everyone can come together in peace and take a stand for something. So that's our number one goal. I think that'll be easy to measure when it's all said and done. But after that, kind of like Darian said, I mean, we can just, you know, get some people on both sides to kind of meet in the middle and understand one another more. I think that's the main goal. Because there's going to have to be a lot of love, a lot of understanding to really reconcile what's happened in our country. And, I mean, I think we can do it. And that's why we've taken some time to try to organize this the right way, what we feel is the right way. And we think it's going to be awesome. I mean, I think we have a great community that'll stand behind it. So we're really excited to see what the turnout's like on Saturday.
Question, Wes, for the guys.
Let me ask.
Go ahead. Follow up. Go right ahead, since they can hear you.
Trevor, let me ask you and Darian both this. You guys both played successful high school programs. You know players at other schools. It seems that student athletes are going to have a major voice in this movement. Sports is going to have a major voice in this movement. We've seen players at the professional level already start to do things, not only in actions, but also in terms of fundraising. How connected do you think college student athletes are in this movement? You guys obviously are connected, but have you talked to guys at other schools, and do you have a sense that, as you mentioned earlier, this could be something that carries into the season in one way or another and impacts the season? From a production and a movement standpoint.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'll answer, and then Darian can add what he thinks. But I think it's one of those things that it's important for a group to do it in a peaceful way that's impactful, because the more and more people start to do it, the more confidence other people get. And I think that's where we're at now, is people are finding their voice and they realize the things they care about, they can speak up about. And I feel like in the past, a lot of times, people didn't have the confidence to do that because they didn't really know what the repercussions would be. But now we're in a place where people have that freedom. So I think it's important just to set a good example. And that's really, that's what we want to do is like Darian said, to be a continuation of what's been happening and then what's to come in the future. So that's our goal, is just to, is to be a good example of hopefully the right way to bring people together and, just give people a voice.
Yeah, I would say that, along the same thing, I just, we both, have sat back and watched other athletes that may have been more, or more like in the NFL, NBA, and seen other people speak up. And that's the thing, is we're trying to figure out, I think we figured out a way, and it won't be perfect, but I believe it'll be authentic, of just a way to truly use our voice, in a way that, one, is peaceful. I think the method matters, because I think sometimes a method can either distract people from the message. So we wanted to figure out, hey, we have a message we want to share. And as Trevor said, I think, thinking through with our team, things we want to do in the fall, we will take a stand in some type of way. But I think we know we want to be peaceful, want to be unified. And I really believe you can unify people and you can educate them at the same time. And sometimes I think people take either approach, where it's really too soft, you don't educate, or you try to educate without any love. I think you can do both. Some grace and truth can be found in both. And so that's what we're trying to do. We don't want to water anything down. We're not trying to dilute what's really going on in our world, in our country. But at the same time, we want to be peaceful in our stance, because I think that's the way you really bring about true change. So that's what we've seen in our own lives. And I think this is just a Saturday and going on. Things we're doing in the public eye will be things we've done in the shadows. And me and Trevor's conversations with Coach Sweeney and the rest of my brothers on the team, it's just ways, hey, there has to be grace for both sides to come and understand, because obviously there's a gap in understanding. At the same time, you got to help people to leave, even if they have disagreements, you can leave unified, just because the other person is a human being as well. Because that's what we want. And that's what we're seeing. I think we got a lot of friends at other schools that have done things. Even I got a good friend that goes to Carolina. So he's done some good stuff down there.
Darian, I tell you what. We are up against the top of the hour. It has been great to have all you guys with us. Good luck tomorrow. And thanks for helping us cap a great week of Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you all so much. Thank you all for having us.
This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.